Hi, guys. Here's my morning routine. First, I drink olive oil, like a lot of it. Yep, that's good. Then I stare at a red light. It's the kind that helps your cells positively glow. Oh, wow, really bright, okay. Next, I take an ice bath. That's how you melt your fat and fix your, other stuff. Ooh, yep, feeling super healthy. Can't feel my toes. Breakfast is raw liver. Okay, here we go. Oh, real good.
If your health advice sounds strange coming from a kid, maybe it's just strange. Cygnos pairs AI with a biosensor so you can track your body's unique responses to food, movement, and more in real time, helping you achieve your health goals. No fads, no fear, just your signal. Get $10 off select plans at cygnos.com. That's Cygnos.com with code SPARK. Cygnos.
This fall, fall in love with Cozy. Nothing says autumn like wrapping up in the rich, warm colors of Minky Couture. From golden ambers to deep burgundy and rustic browns, Minky blankets bring the beauty of the season right into your home. Perfect for crisp evenings, family time, or gifting someone special. Fall in love with Minky and shop your favorite fall colors today at MinkyCouture.com.
Hi, I'm Paula Zahn, announcing the launch of On the Case, the podcast. Experience the most dramatic true crime investigations in a whole new way. Hear from loved ones on a relentless quest for justice and interviews with the detectives who piece together the mystery. On the Case with Paula Zahn, the podcast. Download it wherever you listen to podcasts.
This is Hidden Killers Live with Tony Bruschi, Stacey Cole, and Todd Michaels.
Let's go back to the courtroom and see what's going on, and then we'll reconvene and discuss what Miss Petty had to say.
There's a transcript of that. You can't make out everything they say, but this is part of the transcript that I wanted to point out to you. This is Charlie Adelson talking. Don't waste your time with mom. They need to talk to someone who's first person. Wouldn't it make sense that they make a connection to my family, to me, to my family, not my mom? And then he says to Katie, you're the office help. Checks are on me. That's just because they found out you come in and work on the weekends. Trust me, I'll keep you on full time. So you're going to get your checks. That's Charlie Adelson agreeing that he's keeping her on payroll and the checks from him will keep coming. After the bump on the street, Mrs. Adelson receives a letter. And the statement from, or the evidence that came from the state's witness, you recall that he said that his instructions on when he met her on the street was to be polite. This is not so polite. The next thing, she gets a letter and it says, so my phone is not ringing, so you don't care about Tato and what he did for you. He knows he is fucked and soon so will you. Now, it doesn't say I'm going to kill you, but now the threatening behavior is coming, and they're taking the next step to try and get Mrs. Adelson to come out and admit to something. If she pays the $5,000, bingo, right? She doesn't do that. So that happened on April the 26th. Then she does nothing still. She's scared, and you recall from the phone calls, she's scared. She thinks it's someone related to the killer. She's worried about her safety. She thinks something bad is going to happen to her, but Charlie just keeps saying, Mom, everything's okay. You have nothing to worry about. Then on May the 4th at 2:09 in the morning, the undercover sends her a text message, 2:09 in the morning. So you don't take me serious. You think I'm playing. You have some puta call me to see if I'm for real? If you think what Katie baby daddy did for you can't come back, you're fucking crazy. I want the now or I'm going after the 100K. So threatening. I'm going to go to the police. This is not going away. Don't think that I'm gone. We're still here and you're going to do something about it. That happens on May the 4th. As you recall from going through the wire summary with the state, other calls take place in between. And then on May the 6th, finally, Donna calls the undercover at the number that he had provided initially, that shows here on State's Exhibit 83 with the article about Danny Markell being murdered. Call or text, that's the number that was provided, 305-712-6570, and the dollar amount of $5,000. Now, the state has said to you, innocent people don't fold the paper up and put it in their pocket. I'm pretty sure there's not going to be a jury instruction that tells you she must be guilty because she folded it up and put it in her pocket. She took it very seriously. She got her grandchildren. She went home and she immediately called Charlie to report that. But now she's calling the number that was provided, and you've heard from the testimony. She downloaded an app so it could be recorded, but of course it was being recorded by the undercover as well. Could we play that call? And I think we have provided a transcript to you because it wasn't provided previously. If you'd like to read along.
This is Daniel Stanley. Is this Danny? Danny. Okay. My grandchildren had my phone before, so.
Is your name Danny?
I'm Danny Stanley.
Yes, yes.
My grandchildren had my phone before, so that's, and I just thought I'd call. Oh, okay. You left a message on my voicemail. Right,
you did. No.
This is my problem. You approached me on Alton Road. You handed me an article from a newspaper about my ex-son-in-law. You told me I need to call you and help your friend who was in prison. Now, at the time you did that, I didn't understand what you were talking about. I didn't call you back. Then you mail me a threatening letter. Then you send me a text message to my phone that says I'm not taking you seriously. So I am taking you seriously. And I really want you to listen to this. I have to tell you, I mean, this is important. I have been so stressed out. I have spoken to 10 or 12 people who are close friends of mine, telling them about this and basically picking their brains and asking them what I should do, because I don't know your friend who is in jail. You mentioned a name. I don't even know his name. I never spoke to him. I don't know what he looks like. I've never met him. I'm sorry your friend's in jail, but I don't know what that has to do with me.
You know exactly what it has to do with. You just got to listen to me.
You need to ask who this person looks like, what their name is, something, because I know there's a big reward out there, and you need money for your friends. That's the way you get it. I mean, I'm asking you nicely. I don't know who he is. I am out of the loop. It is not me. If I can help, I can help. I mean, I told you, listen to me, just like I told you guys today,
we know that your cousin had a problem elsewhere. We know that problem was taken care of about a year and a half, 2 years ago. And we know that state has been taken care of. It has been taken care of. Now my brother in jail, we were in Broward together. He told me the whole thing. And he hasn't been taken care of. We know. Now, all that's being asked for is 5K. That's all we're asking for is 5K. And he told me everything, and I know everything. I know who's involved. I know everything, and I'll get the $100K for myself.
You know,
all I have to spend is $5K. Everybody knows what's going on.
You're saying everyone knows. I know I lost my ex-son-in-law. I did not have anything to do with it. That's why I said ask him what.
My brother Tato told me. He told me everything was Murray jail. He told me everything and who was involved. I know everything.
Well, I don't. That's the problem. I'm telling you, it's not me. It's not me. I have had a year of aggravation, a year and a half of aggravation over this. My daughter, my grandchildren, it is not me. And when I asked my friends, what do they think? They said, well, this person needs to get a description of you because of what you look like. Or it's not me. I don't know who caused this. It wasn't me.
Just like that day when I talked to you, this is not going away. This is not going to go away. The Stato told me everything. He wasn't being taken care of. He needed the 5K. Spend 5K. That's all you were asking for.
I don't know who
Stato
is.
We know you know who Stato is, but you know who Katie is. And you know the contact Katie has. And she has listen to me. Let's stop fucking around. Okay? Katie is. And you know that Katie has somebody that knows stuff. And they took care of a problem for you, Pete. That's just the bottom line. The bottom line is you know who the fuck Katie is.
I'm not fucking around with you.
You know who Katie is. You know that they took care of Katie and her people. Nobody's taking care of Tato. I know you don't know who Tato is. But we know who all of you are. And this ain't going away.
You know what?
So I can give you that. You want to spend the 5K?
Here's what you need to do. You need to go and...
Don't tell me what to do. I know what to do and I'm doing it.
You're looking for money. Bet $100,000 or whatever whatever the reward is. It isn't me. You have got the wrong person. That's why I said ask your friends.
You're Donna Adelson.
Yes, I am.
Well, I know. We know who's involved in all this.
Yes. I mean, if you want the money, you should get it from the police. They can give you a whole lot more than you're asking me for money for someone. I can't do this. I have had too much stress and too much aggravation from this, and I don't know what you are talking about. I just don't know.
Good. I think you should talk to Katie. Talk to people that are involved. You'll know. You know what's going on.
That's why I'm
you can tell me. That. You know, you can tell me all you fucking want, but I know you know. Because I know that I heard, when I was locked up in Broward with my father, he told me everything. Everything. He told me everything. I just wanted to take care of him because fucking Katie was being taken care of with her fucking people.
I just think instead of asking me, you should get the money from the police. There's a lot of money out there, and I know if you think you know who this is, then go ahead and do it, because I know it isn't me. I know it isn't me. And I can't take this kind of level of stress. I just can't. I know I didn't do anything.
You talk to people, you make this 5K company. That's all I need. Just do it and get it to me. Do it and get it to me.
Bye.
They tried 5 different times. I'm sorry. Did you want a particular position? Yeah. Sorry, Judge. 5 times they tried. They tried to get her to pay the money. They tried to get her to admit that she was involved in this. And 5 times it failed because Mrs. Adelson tells them in this call, he keeps telling her, I know everything. I know everybody. I know what happened. And she tells him in this call, if you know, go to the police. Go to the police and get the reward. Why in the world, if she's guilty of committing these crimes, is she telling somebody who apparently knows everything to go to the police? If you're guilty, you're not sending anybody to the police. That's why they think they can get her with the 5K. But she didn't do it. And still consistently, Charlie is saying, nothing to worry about. Don't worry. You can hear the fear and worry in her voice on that call. Now, the state talks about coding and code words. And one of the things they say is that in one of the discussions with Charlie, Mrs. Adelson says, it's about the two of us. It couldn't be more clear what that means. Her son told her in September of 2014 that he got extorted. He has to pay this money. He has paid the money, and he's going to keep paying the money so he doesn't get killed, right? Now somebody has walked up to her on the street about the exact same subject, Mr. Markell being killed, and demanding $5,000 from her. So now he's brought her into this. It is the two of them. They're not knocking on his door. They're coming up to her on the street. They're sending her text messages. They're sending letters. They're calling. They won't stop. But she didn't do anything. If her son did, that's on him, not her. There's no evidence that if Charlie Adelson had not told her in September of 2014 what he told her, there's no evidence that she would know anything at all about what happened. That's her single source. And he brought it to her. Bring cash. That's one of the things she says. Bring cash. Without telling him what has happened on the street, she's telling him they want cash. That's not code. That's hint, hint, hint. You don't want to talk on the phone, but you won't stop asking me. So I'm going to hint to you what this is about. There's nothing code about that. The state is interpreting what they think these things mean. It's not their interpretation that matters. It's the evidence that's presented. The judge has read you the jury instructions. So I'm not going all over all of them with you, but I want to say this. Murder in the first degree, the state has to prove that on July the 18th of 2014, Donna Adelson intended that Dan Markell be killed on that date. They have to prove that. There's no evidence of it. First degree murder is killing with premeditation. It's killing after consciously deciding to do so. The decision must be present in the mind at the time of the killing. The premeditated intent to kill must be formed before the killing. They've got no evidence of her doing anything until after Mr. Markell is dead, when she writes the checks at the instruction of her son. Conspiracy. The state has to prove beyond a reasonable doubt that the intent of Donna Adelson was that the offense of first-degree murder would be committed on the date that he's killed, not after the date, before and up to the time that he's shot and killed. They have to prove beyond a reasonable doubt that she had that intent, and they have nothing. Solicitation to commit first-degree murder. They have to prove the following two elements beyond a reasonable doubt. I'm sorry, back to conspiracy. I forgot to say this. In order to carry out the intent, Donna Adelson had to agree, conspire, combine, or confederate with Charles Adelson or Catherine Magbanawa or other persons to cause the first-degree murder to be committed. Had to be before. No evidence of it. Solicitation. prove the following two elements beyond reasonable doubt. Donna Adelson solicited Charles Adelson or Catherine Magbanawah or other persons to commit first-degree murder. During the solicitation, Donna Adelson commanded, encouraged, hired, or requested Charles Adelson or Catherine Magbanawah or other persons to engage in specific conduct which would constitute the commission of first-degree murder. What does solicit mean? It means to ask earnestly or to try to induce another person to engage in specific conduct. We know that the state has not presented evidence of Mrs. Adelson actually shooting and killing Dan Markell. They are asking that you find her to be a principal, that these other people did the killing, but she's a principal. And to prove that she's a principal, you have to show that she helped another person or persons commit the crime. In doing so, the state has to prove beyond a reasonable doubt that the defendant intended the crime to occur and the defendant did some act or said something that was intended to and that did incite, cause, encourage, assist, or advise the other person or persons to actually commit the crime. For first-degree premeditated murder, the state must prove the defendant intended that the killing of Daniel Markell occur. Then you heard the instruction of a principal when active participant is hired by the defendant. If the defendant paid or promised to pay another person or persons to commit a crime means she paid or promised to pay them before they killed him. There is no evidence of that at all. She never paid any of her money. All she did was write the checks that her son told her to write from his business account. It says you have to show that she made or promised the payment.
This is Hidden Killer.
For the commission or promised to commit the crime or to help commit the crime. Her to Catherine Magbanawah, Sigfredo Garcia, or Luis Rivera. Her link to Charlie Adelson is it's her son. They like to show those little arrows going back and forth like it's a train, I think they said. This isn't a train. This is somebody's life, Danny Markell's life, and now Donna Adelson's life. This isn't cute. This isn't powdered sugar. They have charged my client with first-degree murder. Conspiracy to commit first-degree murder, solicitation of the people to kill, and their example is she's got powdered sugar all over her. No, she doesn't. They want you to believe it. That's their theory, but a theory doesn't prove a crime. They have to present evidence, and they haven't done that. Let's talk about Vietnam.
Really?
And the evidence that the state has introduced. Their exhibits 129 and 130 are the visas for Donna Adelson and Harvey Adelson. That one's Harvey's. Now, there's something very important about these. It says their name and what they're going to do. You see that line, it's in, I guess that's Vietnamese, but underneath it, it's in English. And it says, good for single slash multiple entries, that it is a visa for tourism, not residence. It's a visa for tourism. They can come and go as they please. And that it is good until, where's that date? Here it is. It's good until they put the dates backwards. So this is February the 5th of 1950. And the state says, oh, well, she was going to be gone past the date of the bar mitzvah. This visa allows them to come home. And if they want to go back, go back. Now, here's something really important. The state said that we're trying to tell you she was going on vacation. That's not true. Her prior attorney testified that before there was a conviction, she was very upset and said she wanted to kill herself if her son was convicted. And her husband was concerned about her doing that. So he wanted to get her away, to clear her head so that she wouldn't take such a drastic step. That's not a vacation. She's beyond herself. And then he gets convicted. And it's worse. And here's the thing. The state has been saying since this woman was arrested that she was going to flee this country to avoid prosecution. Flee. She's going away. She is not coming back. She's going somewhere where we could never get her and bring her back. They took almost nothing with them. They took a few credit cards, some cash, two pieces of luggage, and one carry-on.
You're arguing the wrong point.
147. When the search warrant was executed, after Mrs. Adelson was taken into custody, here's the luggage in plain view
Keep going.
With the tags on it to go to one stop and then to Vietnam. And that's terrible. I'm sorry, I'm not criticizing.
Yeah, don't criticize.
You gotta hold it. In any event, there's the luggage.
Like the luggage somehow exonerates
her. And the gentleman from Miami, what did he tell you about that when they executed the search warrant? They didn't even look in the luggage to see what they had.
They opened it up and there's like 50 dildos in there.
More important than that is they conducted, according to him, a thorough search. And this is State's Exhibit 160. And it's not real easy to see, and I might just have to pass it along to you because this is really blurry. You see that? You see that little light down there underneath the white shirt? See that? That's the size of Mrs. Adelson's safe, sitting there on that little shelf. They never even bothered to open it and look in it to see if there's any stapled cash. That little bitty safe on that shelf, is that where she allegedly got $138,000 in cash and washed it and stapled it after she got this phone call and took it up to Charlie? Never happened. Couldn't happen. Wasn't going to happen. And the investigator was so concerned about it, he never even touched it.
That's
but here's
the argument.
What the state presented. And just like so much other evidence that they presented in their case, this is a state witness. And on cross-examination, when asked, Sergeant Chris Corbett testified there was no proof that they were actually going to flee. When confronted with the 90-day visa, his testimony was, well, they were going to be gone a long time. That's not fleeing. That's not avoiding prosecution. She got arrested almost 2 years ago under that claim. And it took them almost 2 years to come in here and have a jury seated on these serious charges. And they finally admit there was no evidence that she was going to flee. Danny Markill was killed on July the 18th of 2014, and Mrs. Adelson, according to Agent Sanford, was a person of interest, but she was not arrested in 2014. They immediately started, according to him, gathering bank account information, emails, phone records of Donna Adelson. 2015, she was not arrested. In 2016, they conducted the bump operation against Donna Adelson, and we've just gone through that entire bump operation. And still, even though others were arrested, Donna Adelson was not arrested. She was not arrested in 2017. She was not arrested in 2018. She was not arrested in 2019 or 20 or 21 or 22. Not arrested. And what did Agent Sanford tell you? That they had listened in on this call or heard the recorded call where Mrs. Adelson thinks she's gotten cut off from her son and she's talking about going away, getting airline tickets, and she wants to kill herself. She talks about it on there. She wants her and Harvey to do it together. And he wants to get her out of town and away from the media and clear her head. And Agent Sanford said, here's how invested he is. They think they might get a warrant for her on the day that she's arrested. They're not sure if they're going to try or not. But maybe they're going to. So he's up here in Tallahassee. And what does he do? He hops in his car and he starts driving towards Miami, not even knowing whether they're going to try to get a warrant. When Mrs. Adelson got her visa, there was not a warrant. She was doing nothing wrong. When she booked the ticket, or Rick Chagrin helped book the ticket, there was no warrant. She was not doing anything wrong. She got advice of her legal counsel that there was no warrant. There was no promise with Mrs. Kappelman, but her lawyer told her of the possibility if they got a warrant, she could self-surrender and turn herself in. She packed her bags, no warrant. She gets in her car to drive to the airport, no warrant. She gets to the airport, and sometime therein, they actually get a warrant, and she knows nothing about it. They go to where she is seated with her husband, waiting for the flight to board, sitting down amongst the crowd, and they watch her and wait, even though they've got a warrant. They don't arrest her. And he gives some, oh, well, you know, there was a crowd of people. There's no more crowd than when you enter the jetway and everybody's trying to get on the airplane. They waited until she presented her ticket.
Yeah, because she had to do that legally to arrest her.
So they could say that she was actually fleeing.
Yes, they couldn't just get her. Otherwise,
they knew exactly what was going on. They set her up so they could claim, oh, we captured the matriarch murderer. She was fleeing the country to flee prosecution.
You never can't arrest a drunk driver when they're in a bar.
Got a lot of headlines.
They Spun have to get behind theory, the vehicle. That's what they were doing, essentially.
But we're in trial almost 2 years later, and they know she wasn't fleeing this country.
She was getting on a plane to Vietnam. Of course she was fleeing the country.
And this is from the state's evidence. TPD, FDLE, the FBI, and one agency in Miami-Dade are all involved. They have people listening to phone calls around the clock, 24 hours a day, during this two-month bump period. In their investigation, in their words, they have collected hundreds of thousands of emails. Over 2,000 phone calls during that two-month period, recorded text messages, bank records. They got experts analyzing all of this stuff. They got cell tower records, and I don't even understand all that stuff, but it supposedly can place you in places. They've been working on this case, according to Agent Sanford, right up until the time he was sitting on the stand, still investigating Donna Adelson. If you were going to have proof that Donna Adelson committed a crime, you should have had it beyond a reasonable doubt before you put handcuffs on her in the Miami International Airport. They still didn't even know that day if they were going to arrest her. In all the evidence they have collected, she can't help run her mouth. Not a single email, no phone calls that are recorded, no written documents, no emails, not one single thing that said anything about wanting Danny Markell killed. The most aggressive thing they have are her foul words and wanting to aggravate him. This is not, could she possibly have done it? Could she probably have done it? Might she have done it? You have been sitting here hearing testimony for almost 2 weeks, and there's not a single piece of evidence that connects my client to that murder.
Really?
Charlie Adelson? Yeah.
Okay.
She's not good at math. She's the one who said she hated him.
She is not mathing well.
She's the one fighting with him in court.
They're even backing over
Donna
Wendy
Adelson,
again.
Nothing. Not a single piece of evidence. You have to find her not guilty because they have failed to do their job on all three counts. They cannot prove she had him killed. At the time that he was killed, she had paid anybody or asked anybody to do it. Please take this case seriously. Please go back and review the evidence. Please discuss what's been presented. don't get talked into something that you don't agree with. The verdict has to be unanimous. If you don't reach an agreement, if you can't be unanimous, there's another procedure we go through. But please don't buy into what the state is about to do, telling me how wrong I am or telling you how wrong I am about everything and how they have this mountain of evidence, because they admitted it. Agent Sanford admitted it. There is no direct evidence linking Donna to anything.
Yes.
And all this circumstantial evidence isn't really circumstantial evidence. It's argument about what it could mean, what it possibly mean. Could it have been? That's not beyond a reasonable doubt.
Woulda, coulda, shoulda, baby.
Ms. Fulford, state, may give you a rebuttal.
Boom.
Oh, here we go. We're going right into Woo! It.
Get your popcorn, Todd.
I'll get it.
We might need to crack open a couple of beers, too.
Let's pause this just for a second and just talk about what we just saw there. I don't, and this is Jackie Fulford, the one time I'm going to call her by her name, talking about cell tower data after she just went through and said how inaccurate the information was about where phones are.
Thank you.
I don't understand all that stuff, but apparently it can put you at places.
Bingo.
I
think that's a
pretty close quote to what she said. I tried to write it down. It's very, very close.
Yeah.
Right after she just tells us how all of the cell tower data doesn't mean anything, she tells us how she doesn't understand you, but apparently it can put you at places.
Well, she's cherry picking. She's, you know, this is like a buffet for her. She's just picking out what she needs.
Is it cherry picking or delusion?
Well,
and let's talk about circumstantial evidence just for a quick second before we get to the finisher round of all of this with Jackie or with Georgia. Circumstantial evidence. You get this term thrown around in a lot of trials, especially in closing arguments. It's circumstantial. It's circumstantial. Here's the best explanation you can ever make about circumstantial evidence. It's supposed to snow tonight. It's in the forecast. Okay, great. I'm going to go to bed. I'm going to shut my shades. I'm not going to look out the window. You get up in the morning and there's snow on the ground. Okay. Did you see the snow actually falling? No, you were asleep. You heard it was going to snow. You saw the radar prior. It was coming in. But you didn't see it actually falling from the sky. So, yes, there is there a possibility that a snow cone truck exploded nearby and then covered your home? Is it possible a rogue ski attendant took one of the snowmakers and decided that they were just going to blanket your house in snow that day? Possible? Probable? No.
It's happened to me on occasion.
Circumstantial? That's what circumstantial evidence is. It's very strong. It just means you're connecting dots. You're using the ingenuity that you have as a human being to reason and think and put together dots. Now, could there be those odd chances? Yes.
Yeah.
Is it a reasonable doubt that a snow cone truck exploded in front of your house? No, that is not reasonable. Could it be a possible doubt? Sure, it's not reasonable. Is it beyond a reasonable doubt? Yeah, it is, because a snow cone truck didn't blow up in front of your house. There's no records of snow cone trucks blowing up. There's nothing to point out, unless you can find a snow cone truck that blew up in front of your house. That's pretty damning evidence.
Want more on this case and others? Then press subscribe now and don't miss a moment of true crime coverage from Tony Brewski and the Hidden Killers podcast.
Hi, I'm Paula Zahn, announcing the launch of On the Case, the podcast. Experience the most dramatic true crime investigations in a whole new way. Hear from loved ones on a relentless quest for justice and interviews with the detectives who piece together the mystery. On the Case with Paula Zahn, the podcast. Download it wherever you listen to podcasts.
Want to try a free sample?
Oh, yeah, I do. Wait, time to consult the online experts.
You only eat after you're walking 10,000 steps.
Stop it. Stop it. They don't know your body. Only you do.
Cygnos pairs AI with a biosensor so you can track your body's unique responses to food, movement, and more in real time, helping you achieve your health goals. Get $10 off select plans at Cygnos.com, Cygnos.com, with code SPARK, Cygnos.
Mr. Monopoly here. Monopoly is back at McDonald's. Register in the McDonald's app so you're ready to
get your bag.
Two ways to peel for a chance to
get your bag.
Physical peels with select items and digital peels with others to
get your bag.
Play Monopoly at McDonald's.
Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
No purchase necessary. See rules at playatmcd.com for full details and amoe.playatmcd.com to play without purchase. Ends November 23rd, but bonus plans November 2nd. Monopoly is a registered trademark of Hasbro. Copyright McDonald's.
Hi, I'm Paula Zahn, announcing the launch of On the Case, the podcast. Experience the most dramatic true crime investigations in a whole new way. Hear from loved ones on a relentless quest for justice and interviews with the detectives who piece together the mystery. On the Case with Paula Zahn, the podcast. Download it wherever you listen to podcasts. Hi, I'm Paula Zahn, announcing the launch of On the Case, the podcast. Experience the most dramatic true crime investigations in a whole new way. Hear from loved ones on a relentless quest for justice and interviews with the detectives who piece together the mystery. On the Case with Paula Zahn, the podcast. Download it wherever you listen to podcasts. Hi, I'm Paula Zahn, announcing the launch of On the Case, the podcast. Experience the most dramatic true crime investigations in a whole new way. Hear from loved ones on a relentless quest for justice and interviews with the detectives who piece together the mystery. On the Case with Paula Zahn, the podcast. Download it wherever you listen to podcasts. Hi, I'm Paula Zahn, announcing the launch of On the Case, the podcast. Experience the most dramatic true crime investigations in a whole new way. Hear from loved ones on a relentless quest for justice and interviews with the detectives who piece together the mystery. On the Case with Paula Zahn, the podcast. Download it wherever you listen to podcasts.